They departed with fear and great joy. This is strange, this combination of emotions, fear and great joy. In fact, they seem almost contradictory. But I confess that this day and this week and in these weeks, I have felt fear and great joy at the same time. This Easter is certainly different, strange, and dislocating. But in many ways, that position that we find ourselves in, it's actually allowing these Easter stories to speak anew to me. And this year, again, I was struck by that phrase, fear and great joy, that the women at the tomb could have had those emotions together, for I readily understood how one can have so many emotions in one's heart. That's where I've been. That's certainly where the women at the tomb were. And they had great fear. They had seen Jesus betrayed, arrested, multiple sham trials, beaten, crucified, died, and then as the sun was setting, they saw his body placed in the tomb. They had seen humanity at its worst, and they were afraid for their own lives. Yet the angel comes to them, and the angel offers them news of profound joy that he is risen as he had said he would be. This means they're not going to anoint a dead body in reverence and in consolation, but instead they will meet and they will behold Jesus again. The legions of Rome, the chants of the crowd, the mocking, all of this somehow is overcome by Jesus Christ and his love. And so they have great joy. These past few weeks, again, I've felt both fear and great joy. Also this Easter, I've had a number of fears about myself and my loved ones and people I know getting the virus. Many of you, in fact, know people who are struggling with the virus. I've also had increasing fears about the economy and jobs in our country and in this county and in our community. I'm sure you have as well. And even little things like going to the grocery store that now feels sort of like playing a game of Pac-Man, of trying to avoid other people, of canceled Easter egg hunts and the inability to embrace other people that we would love to do. I mean, all of this just contributes to anxiety and grief and, yes, fear. On the other hand, we're here this day to hear the message that wasn't just for the women, but is for us and for the world, that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. God's love is greater than human hatred. God's life is greater than death. And that though we may die, Jesus' life and Jesus' love have the last word, and we shall be raised as well. And this is great and glorious news. And it does give us joy. It's a joy to know that even though everything else may have been canceled, the resurrection hasn't been, and it still has happened, and it's still unfolding in our world even now. So if you are coming to this day with both fear and great joy, then you're where the first women were and the other disciples that day. What's fascinating, though, to me, and what just stood out to me again, was that given how much they're grieving, We might have wanted or expected the angel to sort of give them a shoulder to cry on, or maybe part of his angelic robe to sort of wipe their tears. But he does none of this. The angel says, get going. Jesus is on the move. He's not here. He's already gone ahead of you. He's in Galilee, where he said he would go. Jesus is alive, and he's on the move, and so they're challenged, commanded to leave the tomb and to live in hope. And it's certainly an act of living in hope, for at this time when they receive that command to go and tell their brothers that Jesus is risen from the dead, they have not yet encountered the risen Christ. They have not eaten a meal with him. They have not beheld his eyes. They have not seen his chest go up and down as he's breathing. They haven't heard him laugh. They haven't put their hands in his side. All the evidence hasn't come in yet they're still challenged to live. And again, it's living in hope, because you see, hope isn't the opposite of fear. In fact, hope in some ways is predicated upon fear. What I mean is that I would never say, you know, I hope this morning when I turn on the spigot in my kitchen that water comes out. It's an automatic thing. I hope when I switch the light that the light comes on. I don't have to hope or to pray for that. It's just the way it's supposed to work. We hope for things when we acknowledge that there are forces hostile, when there's contingency, when there's probability, when things might go wrong. So I hope that the seniors in this year's high school senior class will have ways to have celebrations. I hope that I will not have to do any funerals for COVID. I hope that the economy bounces back. These are all things I say I hope because I acknowledge that I'm afraid of the other outcome. What gives the women then the courage to move on, the faith, the hope to dare to live, is that Jesus is faithful. He has risen as he said he would. And they know that nothing, not even death, can stop Jesus from fulfilling his promises. And so they live, yes, with fear, but also with joy, also with hope, also with faith. I think likewise we are called to live in hope by the angel. And we don't have all the evidence of what God is doing in this world. And in fact, if I looked outside and I were to go to the grocery store, I could say, wow, you know, there's not enough. I can read the news and I can see, wow, there's more people that are contracting the virus and more things are shutting down. Again, there's plenty of evidence to suggest that death is at work, that leaders are struggling, that human sin abounds. Yet we're called to live in hope. Live that even if we can't see Jesus right now, we know that he is alive and that he will meet us, for there will be a tomorrow, and tomorrow belongs to him. And a curious thing, though, happens. When the women, when they live in hope, when they live in hope before all the evidence has come in, when they take the courage to believe that, yes, Jesus will meet them on the road of life, that there is a tomorrow, Jesus meets them today. Again, when the disciples live in faith that there is a tomorrow, Jesus meets them today. That's what Jesus does. He meets the women on the road and he proclaims to them, rejoice. And they worship him. Do we want to meet the resurrected Jesus? Well, Let's live in hope that there is a tomorrow, and that tomorrow belongs to Jesus. And lo and behold, Jesus will meet us today. The food bank in this area held a food drive yesterday, and again, evidence suggests that this wouldn't work, that just a trip to the grocery store reveals that people are hoarding, right? There still is so little toilet paper, or milk is low, and yes, I struggled to find the bananas. But you know what happened yesterday? Well, people started coming with food, and they kept coming, and they kept coming, and they kept coming, until 8,000 pounds had been delivered. 8,000 pounds. A human eats a pound a day, so you can do the math about how many days of food we have. Now, sadly, that'll be used. But when the food bank chose, and the volunteers, and the community said, we're going to live like there's a tomorrow, that all is not lost, but that Jesus Christ is alive in this world, Jesus showed up, strengthened the volunteers, encouraged the hearts of so many people to be generous. Again, we meet the resurrected Christ when we live in hope, when we believe, yes, there is a tomorrow, and lo and behold, Jesus has met us already today. So we're looking for the resurrected Jesus in this world that doesn't seem yet to be right, in which the resurrection is still working itself out. World still in need of healing? Well, live like there's a tomorrow. Plant a garden. Learn how to sew so you can make a mask, not just for yourself, but for others. Take a picture of yourself in your Easter finest that you still chose to get dressed up in and send it to your friends. Learn how to use Zoom or other video conferencing so you can connect with your family members or the church choir group that's meeting on Wednesday nights. Struggle through how to set up all that equipment for online learning for your students or for your child or for yourself. Again, we live in the hope, we dare to hope against evidence that there is a tomorrow and that Jesus Christ is there. And lo and behold, Jesus Christ meets us today. For Jesus is alive and on the loose in this world. As Easter people, we can always live like there will be tomorrow. Easter means should virus, should pandemic, should economic collapse, should even death come, there will always be a tomorrow. Now that tomorrow might not be in this world, it might be in the next. And that's okay. For we know that if it is in the next world, then our labors are done, and we can join the church triumphant in eternal song. But if it's still in this life, in this world, then we can still sing, and sing to praise Christ, sing to fill our homes and world with the good news of resurrection, that the virus has not stopped, and sing to receive the courage to face this day, knowing that Christ is on the move and calling us to live.